podcast.
R. I'm a comics pirate.
And I'm a comics prostitute.
And together we're talking about Australian comics.
All the ins and outs and ups and downs and everything you want to know about comics in Australia. Except and probably not that informed or anything. We don't really know anything about them except for what we do, really.
Yeah. Who are we who you are listening to? I'm David Blumenstein. And
I'll talk you up. I'll talk you up because it's not right for you to try and sell yourself.
All right. Yeah, okay.
You're not a prostitute. So, David, he's a bargain, good value. He does a comic called Naked Fella and runs nakedfellacomics.com.
So far correct.
Yep. He did a thingo called what was it? Home in the Legal Labrador?
Yeah, it was a film.
Which was an animated short film. Type yep. deal, starring many famous people, Sean McAuliffe, Santo, whatever his name is, and some other bloke
yes.
who's famous. Naked Fella is really good. David is one of the few cartoonists who do, these days, I think, sort of, I guess, subversive, is that what you call it? Subversive alternative?
No. I would just go funny, intending to be funny.
Funny. No, they are quite rude and mean, and...
We don't need to explain too much who we are, other than to say that we're the two best people in Australia.
at comics.
At
underground comics.
If you want to restrict yourself, sure. But I do funny comics, or intending to be funny comics, and Ben does also funny comics, and he does a comic called You Stink and I Don't, and also many other comics. There's a Dragon Hurtor, and yep. And there's Pumpkin Brothers. And he's from Canberra, and he's been doing comics for a very long time, actually. How long?
So long it's a little bit embarrassing. I've been doing them since 93. I think my first comic came out in 93. And embarrassing because I think there's about 20 or so now that I've done.
Hmm.
And I'm starting to go, all right, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're building, you know, an archive.
Yeah, but come on.
It's a body of work.
Yeah, it's a body of work, you know what I mean. But, well, we'll get on to this later, but yeah.
And he also animates, he also does animation.
Oh, yes, I'm an animator. I work for a major games company, but that's not what we're talking about today. My latest stuff is called Lesson Master, he's a little character I invented, and I've been posting him up like a mother, and doing all that, trying to do one a week.
So yep.
We can look him up and have a look.
So you've been keeping it up, so you've, unlike, you know, you'll
you
have...
You burped,
Ben. What?
You burped then.
Was the clarity good enough that you could actually hear it?
Yeah, you burped. That's not very professional.
That's fantastic. Well, you know what is professional, though.
Huh?
That's
welcome
professional.
Welcome back. Oh, okay. So,
if we do this again, we might get better at it.
So, what do we got on the agenda to talk about today?
Well, I guess I was going to say... Actually, you brought it up before. I was going to ask you how hard you work on your comics shit. Cause,
oh.
And you've already started talking about it. You're talking about how you reckon other people don't work hard enough on theirs.
Well, it depends on how serious you want to take it. You know, what you want to do with it. If you're just doing it for a bit of a laugh, then, you know, it's up to you. But
yeah.
But really, if you're expecting people to pay money for it, and... you're going to bother doing it, really. I think go as hard as you can, you know, make it as good as you can. And how hard, I mean, I work very hard on them, I guess. I work nearly every day on them. And
well, see, that's huge. In Australia, assuming it's possible someone from another country could be listening, there's no comics industry in Australia. There's what you maybe would call a scene. There's a bunch of people who do sort of indie comics. And then there are people who do, you know, superhero comics, or comics that would generally be popular if there was an industry, but we don't have an industry. There are no Australian, really, comics companies that are putting out many comics and stuff like that. So the people who are drawing comics in this country are either doing it because they really love it, or they're doing it because they hope that maybe one day someone from another country like America will employ them to do these comics. Does that sound about right?
That sounds like, well, that's all true.
I thought it was appropriate. Anyway.
No, I like your little spiel. I don't really feel like following it up with anything because no, I haven't right. got anything on the tip of my tongue.
Well, I was going to say, so the people that do work hard are working hard because they love it. And the people who aren't working hard know in their hearts that it is a hobby, and maybe they're good at it and maybe they're not. It doesn't really matter. It's something that they maybe want to do. And so I guess when you get angry, you're not getting angry because these people are not good or they're shit or they don't try very hard. You're kind of getting angry because they start to take on the trappings of an industry, like, you know, printing really professional looking, you know, professional printing for something that they drew on toilet paper, or putting out zero issues as though they're a real comics company, or the fact that we have an awards now for comics, when I think most of us... I'm not going to say most of us. I feel that there's almost no one in this country worthy of an award for comics.
Really?
I don't think so.
Well, not on a... if you compare us with, you know, the standards of people from overseas as well.
Yeah.
That's what you mean, though, isn't it?
I don't know about you, but I compare us and myself to the standards of the world.
No, I don't know. I probably can't think of names off the top of my head, but there are a few artists here who I would say can compete in the quality of stuff overseas.
There are world-class artists in this country and no world-class writers except for Trudy Cooper.
Oh, really? Is that what you think? There's no good... She doesn't write the comics.
Well, she co-writes the comics.
See, I didn't think... I thought some other bloke did.
Well, the other bloke, his name I cannot remember off the top of my head, which I apologise for.
Barry P. McKenzie.
Trudy and Barry P. McKenzie. They're great. You know, but... Well, who else is great? I'd love to talk about people who are great. There are others, you know. There's guys like Dean Rankin and Bernard Callio and Joe Waite writes fantastic comics. I exaggerate when I say there's no one deserving of an award. I just find... I get, you know, a little irritated that there is an awards so-called ceremony and that anyone would take it seriously. Because if there were real awards in this country for comics, the same few people would get them every single year.
I think so. I think that's what you're talking about, isn't it? The trappings of a real industry, but...
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. That's what's making you angry, is that they're attempting to compete on a professional level.
No, it's not that. I want everyone to have a go or whatever. It's not that. It's more that I just spend like $6 on the fucking thing when I only charge like $3 for mine.
Yeah, well, that's another thing.
And these young artists, they're too noisy.
Noisy?
Yeah, they're loud.
You reckon?
Didn't you notice at Dujicon?
Oh, but those are manga and anime people. They're just nutcases, aren't they?
Yeah, they're young and full of red cordial, I think.
Well, that's it, you see. I mean, sadly, I don't want to draw attention to it, but you're not young anymore.
I'm young at heart, though.
I'm not young anymore by those standards. I mean, I'm 27.
Mm. God, is that what it is? That they're young and that's the only reason they're fucking annoying?
I think so. I think you're just old. That's all.
Yeah, I sound old. God damn it, when I'm saying stuff like that.
What's with these young kids today?
Oh, but seriously, man, we were sitting there, right? And this girl is coming up talking in Japanese. Not just talking in Japanese,
all right,
but in a voice that's like 3 octaves higher than her normal voice. I can't imitate it because it'll break the freaking microphone, but she's incessantly talking in this really quite fluent Japanese, and I was so annoyed because I thought she was a bit saucy before she was doing that. And then there was this other fella who was standing with his girlfriend, sort of looking like a little bit embarrassed by him. And he was standing there sort of hollering to nobody. I think he was being funny, but I wasn't sure what he was saying.
Yep.
I think probably just in-jokes and catchphrases and things like that from shows that they know.
Yeah.
And he was just sort of hollering out to like the room, this sort of monologue of wacky stuff. And I was sitting there going, God damn it, that's really annoying.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway.
No, well, I can explain. Like I said, anime people.
Yeah.
That first girl, anime freak.
Yeah.
The guy, nerd. Just enormous nerd.
Oh, nerd. Yeah, nerd.
Nerd in the sense that of nerds sometimes lacking in social skills.
Yeah. Quite enough,
talking very loudly! Yeah, like that.
The other thing I noticed about nerds at Supernova is that there's this weird tendency, I think I talked to you last time, when we're setting up, somebody will walk up, usually a girl, and just sort of stand there, smiling at us.
Really?
Saying nothing and watching. And...
she's looking at us draw, no?
No, no, when we're setting up.
Oh, okay.
So you're just resetting up, and this has happened every year. Somebody has walked up, and maybe it's the same person, but
yeah,
they stand there, and I don't know them, and I've never met them, and I've never seen them before, but they stand there, and they sort of wait for you to acknowledge them. Oh, hello. And then they'll start talking. It's weird. I just burped.
I heard that, yeah. But is the girl talking about something in particular?
No, she's a bit weird.
Oh, you know
maybe
what? It's the same girl every year.
Oh, is it?
I don't know who the hell it is you're talking about. I've never seen this person. But if it's not something from your imagination, it's the same girl every year. And she's got this condition that a guy I know has. But every time we encountered each other, even if it was like 6 months between, he would continue the conversation that we were having.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Like, even if we hadn't seen each other for ages, instead of saying, oh, g'day, I'd say, hey, how are you? And he'd go, well, the mathematics course is going all right, but I mean, like I say, it's just, you know, da-da-da. And he just, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's just, you know, some people are different from you and I, and, you know, some of those people are normal, which we are not, but some are more abnormal than us.
Like the security guard and the glass of water incident.
You have to remind me what that was.
Well,
this was at the comic convention.
Yeah, there's a security guard there who's extremely serious, and he takes his job very seriously, I think. Obviously, there's not much going on at Supernova. It tends to, you know, quieten down a little bit towards the end, or towards, like, you know, 11 o'clock on Saturday. There was something going on this day. A glass of water had been misplaced. Actually fallen over, spilling the contents of the glass, which was water, I think I just said, and creating a fairly smallish puddle. But it was water, and someone could have slipped on it. I mean, you know, someone could have stepped on the glass. Luckily, the security guard was there, because he leapt into action, and we saw him standing with the glass, saying something along the lines of, yeah, we've got a situation here in the second aisle, Sector 4, Row G. There's actually a overturned glass of water. Could we please get someone to check this out ASAP? And I don't know. I seem to remember he put something over it, or he blocked it off with... I forget the details.
Good on him.
Oh, good on him. He must have been bored out of his mind. Anyway, one of the clean... No one came to get it, and he was a bit worried about that, but eventually... a cleaning woman, without being told by him, she just came, glass of water, picked it up, took it away. Anyway, she walked off, and later on we're just sitting there, and we hear him going past, and he goes, she walked past, and he sort of, do you take care of that glass of water? And she said, yeah. He goes, good work.
That's fantastic, and I really wish I had a news theme kind of thing, which I could come in with now.
Damn, I was really hoping you'd take that as a cue to play a
I know.
Sound effect. I can do a sound effect.
Yep.
Pew, pew, pew.
That's the news theme.
Excellent.
All
that's
right.
Good. Action and news.
Yeah,
get it
yeah.
All here.
Oh, there's some fantastic ones. But, you know, all I have is this. We're back. Chicken Parmigianas. Are all Australian cartoonists eating them? And if not, which ones are poofs for not?
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you. No, you eat them. Oh, shit.
like the guy who came up to our table with that comic. Do you remember this? And and he said, this is my comic, and I've gotten it published. Some guys have published it for me, and... I went, oh, okay, and it was, like, kind of shiny, you know, and inside it was pure art comic, You know, like little boxes with not much in them and some words that said very little. And I was like, okay, this is not my thing. What do I say to him? And I went, nice printing. And he went, well, you know, it cost a fair bit. And I said, okay, how much? And he said, some idiotic amount.
Oh, it was over $1,000, wasn't it? I remember that.
It was like $9,000. I'm sure I'm getting it wrong, but it was something just completely ludicrous. I said, how many did you print? And he said something like 500 or something. And I went, Oh God. Are you kidding? And that's when he said, these guys published it for me. And I went, right. Okay.
Hang on, so he didn't pay for the printing.
Yeah, he did pay for the printing.
In what way did they publish it for him?
Well, I, as far as I can tell, they took the money and gave it to a printer. I don't know.
Do you know what? It probably cost the printer $200.
Yeah.
And they took his $9,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the poor little bastard.
I know, and I felt so bad because I was just kind of like hiccuping with surprise at this. I was just making the poor guy feel bad, you know? And I was just trying to shut myself up. And he said, yeah, well, you know, and that's why I'm selling it for $30.
Oh, really?
$30?
They're selling their first comic for like $7 or $8 or $9.
Yeah.
And you just can't be charitable. You can't go, I just walk past, and it's like crudely drawn. It's okay, it might be all right, but it's like their first comic. They're sitting there just looking really bored, how much? Oh, $12, $9, $8 or something. I just say no, that's too expensive. I'm not going to buy that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, with them, it's possible that they're doing that because they don't know enough about printing methods to actually get their stuff printed at a reasonable price. They're going to like Kinko's or something and getting everything done there, and so it's costing them $4 or $5 an issue. Yeah.
Either that, or they're seriously hoping to make a nice tidy profit off their little comic.
And if they are, then they're worthy of just bagging all over the joint.
Yeah, I agree.
But we can't really know which one of those is which. So.
Well, maybe they charge the $7, $8, $9 because they want to cover the cost of getting a frickin' table.
Yeah, or that. It's expensive.
How does it cost him $200 to? Why does he need $200 from each? $220 from each person to let them sit at his table?
Oh.
It's not going to fill it up with A-grade celebrities or anything, is it?
So now you're talking about the dudes who run the conventions.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think that's unreasonable at all, actually, except for the fact that our comics, particularly, are not suited to something like what these conventions have become. These conventions are enormous. I mean, they're not called comic conventions. They're called pop culture expos or pop culture events or whatever they are. And increasingly, as I think we've been noticing in the last few years, they're filled with small children and their parents. And they're not interested in dirty poo jokes and stuff like that. Really, they're more interested in seeing the guy who played Darth Maul or something. You know, they're charging $330 or $220 for a table for us at these conventions. They say, and it's true, that they charge a lot more, you know, for the, you know, to the people who have booths and stuff like that, who are, you know, companies or shops that have things there. And it is helpful that they charge less to people like us, but they still do charge a few $100. And so it's up to people like us to go, well, can I realistically afford to pay that? They're not running a charity.
Yeah.
And that's my say.
Your say's stupid. Oh, sorry, I interrupted. You're playing awesome music there.
That's alright. It's a good sting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the thing is, if they find out that we're using it, we'll probably get, like, taken down by APRA.
Who is it from?
It's a piece of production music. It's by Curtis Schwartz, and it's called Rocket Rebel. And that's the 9-second version. Maybe if I credit him and I mention how cool I think it is and how cool we think it is, they won't get mad at us. I'm going to play the 18-second version of that sting.
All right.
Check this out.
To me.
How hot is that?
That's great. That's great.
That's wonderful.
I wish there was a camera. I'd just turn around to it. Oh, brilliant.
Aw. Oh. Well, we could do it. We can do a webcast another time, possibly.
Yeah.
With video. A vodcast, they call it.
Would anyone want to see it? I got my photo taken today, and I swear my cheeks are getting bigger by the month.
No one wants to even listen to this. Why would they want to watch it? Questions need to be asked. And that one is by Brian Greene and is called The Buzz.
Oh, that's what it is.
All right, you want to hear my shit cricket gag?
Yeah, go on.
So, Ben, what have you been up to? Have you been watching a bit of cricket lately?
Oh, no, I haven't. I've never been watching any cricket because it's very boring.
Yes, I find it boring also. In fact, I find it so boring, let me give you an impression of how boring I find it. I turn the TV on and I kind of hear this. Alright, so I think they're going to play cricket pretty soon. Alright, here we go, something. Yep, no, he's definitely going to bowl any minute now. No, he's turned around. He's looking at the crowd. He's, some other guy's put some white stuff on his mouth. I don't think... Oh, hang on, here we go. No. Still pretty boring. He's sticking a key in the grass. Wait. No, oh, wait! Oh, he's bowled the ball! And that one's hit it! Something happened! That's it. That's my cricket gag.
That's what it's like. That is brilliant, David. Thank you very much for that.
No worries. That is as good as it gets out of me.
Oh, dearie me. Well, everyone, I hope you tolerated our episode 0 podcast of comics, which it wasn't really about comics, was it? I don't remember what we talked about.
It was partially about comics, and it was just, you know, a little bit comics and a lot of stupidity, and we'll try to do better next time. We're very sorry.
I won't.
This podcast was presented by David Blumenstein and Ben Hutchings. www.nakedfella.com and www.effect.net.au/geen. GEEEN. Platinum Grit is written by Trudy Cooper and Danny Murphy.